Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Cordera for Religion Means Alive for today's date of August 27th, 2015. And today's topic is failures of a black man. Who failed the black man? I chose this topic today because there's a lot of, I want to say, statistics that I researched, and I was very leery of everything that was presented to me in my findings. It was just, you know, very difficult to absorb and to comprehend. Before I, you know, proceed on, I just want to give you the opportunity, if you want to call in, you can do so at 855-727-7013 and press 1, and we'll get you through on the call. First, I just want to thank the law so I'm able to do this call and this show today. You know, there's a lot of things that are plaguing not only the Muslims, but, you know, everybody. I mean, you know, this earth needs everyone to sustain it. It's not one particular race or one gender and so forth. Like, we need to help sustain this earth. But it seems as though that the African-American male is not one of those people who we are looking to have survive or, you know, move towards the future. It's just unbelievable, the numbers. And, you know, compared to African-American sisters, we're exceeding the brothers almost 4 to 5%, four to five times greater, the numbers that we're exceeding. And it's just alarming, like, why is nobody, you know, taking heed to what's going on. It's like, you know, people have the blinders on, you know, how, like, they have the carriage horses and so forth, and they just put the blinders on them so they can see straight. They can't look left or right. Whatever's in front of them, that's the only thing that they can see. And, you know, I don't know who has the blinders on, but the information that I'm going to present to you today on this call, hopefully those blinders will come off. Or, you know, you're able to change your view on certain things. I'm just not believing that, you know, all these numbers are true. As a matter of fact, I don't want to believe it, because it was very disheartening to know that, you know, people like my brothers, my cousins, and so forth, like, the disparity for their success is minimal. Like, it's like they have no success. It's like, okay, they're either going to be dead, in jail, incarcerated, or, you know, just low life. Like, nobody, we don't care about them. We don't care what they do. We don't care how they succeed. It's just very disheartening to look at these numbers and not be upset about them. So, how many black people are in the U.S.? Roughly 13.2 million. 13.2% over 41.7 million. By the year 2060, there should be 74.5 million black people in the United States. The demographics now of the black men in the world, there are 21.5 million black men in the entire world. Now, the demographics of African Americans ages 18 to 34 is 49%. 35 to 64 is 47%, and 65 plus is 40%. The median age for African Americans is 31. That was the median age that I was able to research. Okay, African Americans 16 to 64 had a lower participation rate in the labor force, 67% compared to 80% of all males. So if you look at that, we just take a round number of 100, only 67 out of 100 black men are in the workforce. Why is that? Compared to if you take round number 100 people and 80% of them of other races are employed. Now, when you look at black men compared to all men, the unemployment rate, 11.2% of black men are unemployed. Compared to other races, it's 7.3%. According to the poverty level, 26% of black men live in poverty, compared to 15% of all races. Now, in those other races, when I was doing the research on the statistics, that would include Caucasians, Asians, anybody who didn't identify as black. So those numbers were all lumped together. And it's just very strange that black men are so much in a lower poverty rate. They're unemployed at these astonishing numbers. I just think that this goes back to slavery times. Now, I don't know if any of you listening, you know, to the radio, to the show, have ever read the book called Willie Lynch. And you can find that, like, if you Google Willie Lynch, you'll see the Willie Lynch letters and so forth and so on. But basically, what that was a way to control the black men. If you take them away from their home, away from the wife, away from the rearing of the kids, you will never have the stability. African Americans will never have the stability to regain what they were. And so far, it looks like it's working. These numbers aren't something that I made up. Sticks for high school up to age 25. So if you're age 25, these statistics apply to you 25 and under. So the numbers could have been different. If it was 25 and greater, you know, you could have went back, got your GED, you could have went back and got your high school diploma, so forth and so on. But these were the statistics where the age range stopped at 25. So basically you're saying if you're 25, really, you know, from the age of 18, because usually kids graduate high school around 18. So between the age of 18 and 25, if you haven't received your GED, high school diploma, or what have you, we use these statistics to calculate the percentages. So with that being said, remember, up to age 25, Cajun is 18%. Half a high school diploma or GED is 35%. Some college, no degree, 24%. African-American men who have associate's degree, 7%. Bachelor's or higher, 17%. You attended college, 48%. I mean, so that's encouraging. The 48% was high. And what that means is that, you know, African-American men, they may not have finished, college, but they at least they tried. They tried. My question is, what stopped you from continuing? What stopped you from completing and getting an associate's degree or getting your bachelor's or, you know, going on to postgraduate schooling and so forth and so on? So, you know, we're going to take a look at that. Now, this is where things got a little deep. So only 18% of black males over the age of 25 completed high school. That's crazy. So if you were 25 and greater and all you did was complete high school, you didn't try to go to a trade school, you didn't try to go to anything else, you just settled for a high school diploma. Well, that is a little bit different. Just settled for a high school diploma was 35%. So we're using the average for the African-American men in the United States. We're just looking at the United States. So that's 41.7 million. Now, only 17% have a bachelor's degree. So that's just, I don't know. It's just the numbers. When I was writing this information down, it was very, very sad, very sad. Next, I'm going to look at drug use. And the reason why I'm going through these statistics first is because I want everybody to grasp what I'm going to conclude with. I want everybody to grasp it. I want everybody to fully understand why I'm basing my statements on what I'm basing them on, and it's because of these statistics. Drug use. In the year 2009, 3 to 6 times more likely, African-American males were 3 to 6 times more likely to be arrested for drugs. Now, it's like, okay, when they arrest you, it's not because you ran a stoplight. It's not because you, you know, you made an illegal U-turn or something like that. Probably because they thought you had something in the car. And we all know in the news how things have been showing that, you know, the police are shady. So, you know, if we go back to the unemployment and the below poverty level, set the alarms off, you're going to have a public defender. So if you got a public defender and you got a drug case, you might as well chalk it up because you're going to jail. Or you're going to be put on probation or something like that, but that's going to be a blemish on your record now. You have probably a felony charge, which is now going to set off alarms and everything when they do a background check. So this is why I'm going through the statistics. So when I start speaking and making my point, you'll understand where I'm coming from. Okay, so for drug use, we're going to look at what African Americans use as far as drugs. And this is per 100,000. So per 100,000 African American males, 12% use marijuana. Well, that's not nothing new. Cocaine is 1.5%. Crack, cocaine is 1%. Heroin is 0.5%. And hallucinogens is 1.5%. I'm going to do a show on that, inshallah, in the future, about not only African Americans, but African American women, men, and teens with these opiates, the drugs, the perps, the all the drugs. I'm going to do a show on it because this community is going to down the toilet real fast with these pills. It's really crazy and how this is happening and nobody's noticing it. You know, it's alarming me as well. So I'm going to talk about that on a later show. Okay, so So now we're going to look at the workforce. We're going to look at how many African Americans are working. Okay, so ages 16 and up. Median earnings for a black male is $37,290 a year. All the other males, $48,099. If you work full-time within a year, that was 37% for African-American, 48% for all others. Earnings from not full-time work was 23% for black males, same 23% for all others. No earnings all year long, like you didn't earn anything all year long, that was 40% for black males, 30% for all others. Now we're going to look at the occupation type. And this is another thing that, you know, alarmed me a little bit, and I'll speak on this after I give you those statistics. White collar jobs. So this is your corporate jobs. 42% compared to 75% of all others. Blue collar jobs, 36%, all others, 17%. Service occupations, which would be like your housekeepers, your janitors, you know, your trash collectors, so forth, you know, people who collect, because I looked this up to find out exactly what specific jobs were indicated in this range. So if you worked in the hospital and you were taking, like, the robes and blankets and things like that off the hospital beds, and you were collecting, like, if you were in the dentist's office, you were collecting the hazardous waste and so forth. This is where it says service occupation. So African Americans was 23%. And all others was 8%. So looking at those numbers really alarmed me, because I want to know, why is it that African-American men think that they can't become executives or, you know, white-collar workers working in corporate America, you know? Yeah, I hear it, because I've worked in corporate America for 23 years with hijab on. Never had a problem. Never had an instance where someone said something out of turn. The one thing that I never saw, and I saw very rarely, was African-American males. Like, I don't see any of that in our offices. You know, I just don't see it. And I want to know why African-American men feel like they can't work in an executive position. Not that you guys are dumb, because you're far from dumb. I mean, I just look at some of the creative things that, you know, brothers come up with and make while they're incarcerated. So if you can make these inventive, you know, gadgets and other things, I know you had the intelligent level. Your IQ is not that of someone who has mental disabilities, or you have a diminished capacity for learning and so forth. It's not that. What is it? Why do you feel like you can't compete on the same level that African-American sisters are competing? Because the numbers, and I'll do a show, inshallah, at a later time in regards to that. Like, why is it that African-American sisters are exceeding African-American males at such a higher rate? Like, our numbers, it's like the scale is like, y'all have no weight on the scale. But why is it? Do you not think that you're capable of obtaining, you know, these type of positions? Do you not want these type of positions? Do you want to be picking up somebody's trash? Do you want to be cleaning out an office? Do you want to be sweeping the street? Do you think that's all you're good for? Do you not think you're worthy of having someone come to your office and sit down and close a deal on a business? Do you think that it's too much to put on a suit and a tie every day and go to work? Or is it more acceptable to you in the norm just to get your halal hustle and sell whatever you're selling and be content with it and think that's what you deserve or that's all you can do? There's plenty of ways out there that African-American men can excel at jobs other than picking up somebody's trash or cleaning somebody's office. Like, there's other jobs. But you guys have to want to be willing to make those sacrifices. And if you look at African-American women, we are making those sacrifices. And, you know, this goes back to, like, my previous show. It's not that I don't think African-American women don't want to marry African-American men. It's just that they don't have somebody out there on that level. If you look at the numbers and look at the statistics, African-American women are in those corporate roles. Oprah Winfrey is the only, listen, only African-American who's a billionaire, and she's a woman. Why isn't it a man? Why? Because I'm sure you didn't have to be in the talk show business or do what she did to become that. You could have did something else because the Caucasian men who are billionaires didn't have a talk show. I just can't wrap my hands around it. I mean, you look at it, when I look at when other people from other countries come into the United States, they will work any job. No matter how demeaning it is, they will work it. And they will save their money and use that money to better their family. African-American men are not doing it. You guys refuse to work certain jobs. Like, it's beneath you, and you don't even have a job. You know, that's where, you know, your pride comes in. And sometimes you got to put your pride to the side, cough it up, and, you know, deal with it. It's something that you have to do. It's not something that you may want to do. I mean, you know, this is why it's important for African Americans to get an education. Like, you got these sisters. I hold a master's degree. I hold a bachelor's degree, two bachelor's degrees. I have certifications, everything. And it's not because somebody gave it to me. It's not because somebody gave it to me. Thing that I wanted to work for, not to just better my family, because, you know, I was told at certain stepping stones, oh, you can't go no higher because you don't have this. Oh, you can't go no higher because you can't do this. You know, you're stuck. So until you get this certification or until you get this degree, your income won't be where it's at. And me, I wasn't satisfied with that. Nobody's going to tell me that I can't get what I want. So I'm going to do what I have to do to get what I want. So once I graduated and went back to my bosses, look, here's my certification, here's my degree, now give me my money. And they had to give it to me. Okay, now I want to get promotion. As you know, I want to go up in the level from an officer to assistant vice president. What I got to do to get it? You got to do this, 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 and that. All right, I'm going to show y'all. I'm going to do everything on that list plus some more because I want that title. I've been here too long. I worked my butt off to do what I got to do, to get what I got to get. I went to school. I did everything that y'all asked me to. Y'all going to give me what I asked for because I know I'm worth it. And what did they do? They gave it to me. See, if you put in black and white what you want to accomplish and how you want it, and if somebody puts it in black and white and tell you you have to complete all these things to get what you want, and you do everything that they asked you to do, they have no choice but to give it to you. And if they don't, you got a right to complain and take that wherever so that somebody listens to you. Hey, they told me if I did all this and I did more than what they asked me for, I still didn't get my promotion. But they have to give it to you because you did everything that they told you you had to do. Black men are not trying to do that. I've seen it in corporate America, like you just, oh, I'm making good money, oh, I'm just going to ride this out or whatever like that. So, yo, they giving out these free classes so you can get your certification. Oh, no, I don't have time for that. Why not? You cool with just sitting here, you know, putting in numbers and completing requests? You don't want to go, you know, to a different department. You don't want to do something else, and you just cool with that? Because, you know, that's sufficient for you to pay all your bills, and you got a little bit more money, you know, in your pocket or whatever, but you don't want to do more than that. And they settle for it. But our counterparts, they're not selling for that. Caucasians not selling for that. Asians are not selling for that. People of Indian, like Indian from India descent, not settling for that. They're not settling. African American men, if you are in the line, if you have the potential to excel and to exceed, and if you have a job where they're going to pay you to go back to school and you don't have to pay for anything, take that opportunity and run with it. Take the opportunity, run with it. Excel. Please, I know y'all got potential, but y'all choose to ignore it and settle, just like the slaves did. When the plantation owner ripped them away from their wives and their children, sent them to another plantation to breed off, y'all stopped trying to run away. Y'all got complacent with sitting there and just, you know, having your business with the slaves, you getting good food and this and that, and that was your life. Stop being complacent. Stop settling for what people are trying to give you. You're worth more than that. I can't say it enough. Don't settle for the situation that you're in. Stop. Get the empowerment to better yourself. If your children see you try to better yourself, they will try to better themselves. They will become more productive people. I've taught my children, I want you to excel greater and farther than what I did. Don't be less than what I was. Be greater than what I am. Never settle for someone telling you this is as far as you can go, this is all you can do. They're a liar, and you can. You just have to have the willpower to do it. But if you get sidetracked with all this other foolishness that's going on out here in this dunya, you're going to get caught up. African-American sisters are not going to entertain you because they're not on that level. They're not settling for that. They're not settling for a job as a CNA cleaning someone who's elderly behind every day. They're not settling for that. Okay, I'm tired of that. Now I'm going to go get my LPN. Oh, please, I'm done with that. I want to go get my BSN. While her counterpart, African-American male,
still in that mode of I just want to be a CNA because I'm making, you know, good money. I can do a little overtime or whatever like that. You guys don't see the bigger picture. You don't have to become stagnant in the role that you're in. African-American men are intelligent. Look at so many of the things we created. Look at so many of the things, you know, as far as educational-wise, how many, you know, of our previous ancestors have, you know, excelled in certain things. It just baffles me that today's African-American men tossed it out the door like, oh, you know, we don't need all that. I'm going to get a barbershop and cut hair or whatever like that. Yeah, get the barbershop, cut hair. But once you get all your stations filled up, go get a property and open up another barbershop. Then you got two barbershops, and you ain't got to work no more. Because you got enough people working for you where you don't have to work no more. You got a house. You saved up. Okay, I'm going to buy this property. Why just stop at the one property? Oh, because, you know, that was enough for me to cover my rent, and I don't have to, you know, pay no rent and stuff no more like that. So why not have two or three properties? This way you could pay for your kids' college tuition. You ain't even got to worry about that. Whatever money you get from that property, you put it in, you know, one of those accounts where, you know, it's tax-free and stuff like that. If you want to open it in your children's name so that they'll have money for when they go to college. Why not do that? The American men just stop at the one property. Oh, because my rent is paid, and that's all I need to worry about. No, open, go get two, three more properties. This way you can use one property, like your 401K, you know, your retirement fund or whatever like that, or your medical expenses, go get another property. You got two kids, go get a property for each one of them. Take that money and put it in, you know, account for them so that they can use it for college education. Why just settle? African-American women don't do that. We think ahead. We in this race. It's like the tortoise and the hare. But we know at the end the tortoise won, but no, y'all ain't winning. But why? Why do y'all not take the time, the energy that y'all put into so much other stuff? Because I see African-American men who are very creative, y'all very talented, spend on it. Y'all get complacent with one thing, that one thing works out good for y'all, and y'all stick to it. African-American women ain't like that. Now, I'm going to speak for myself. One thing don't work the way I want it, and I mastered that particular task, and I see that it's not growing to benefit me, I cut it off. I cut it off before it comes stagnant for me so that it doesn't interfere what I'm trying to do to pursue and have in my future. I'm not going to keep ties with something that's going to bring me down. I'm going to cut it loose while it's not weighing me down that much so that I can now anchor onto something else that is potentially beneficial for me. I'm not never going to let something weigh me down that's going to harm me or harm the situation that I have going on. I'm not. But African-American men don't think like that. They get stuck in the rut like, okay, I'm cool, you know, my bills paid, this and that. I got a few dollars for this, I can get that. And then, you know, you guys get so caught up in materialistic things. Look at Bill Gates. Look how this man dress. This man ain't wearing Jordans and True Religion jeans and doing all this stuff. He ain't dressing like that. And the man got billions. You know, black people get a little bit of money, they got to show out. I always tell people, if you got to brag about everything you had, you never had nothing growing up. But that should be your inspiration to say, I don't want to be where I was when I was growing up as a kid. I want to be better than that. I want to have a better lifestyle for my children and possibly my grandchildren, my wife, my husband. I want to, you know, African-American women think like that. Guys running out here in the street, in the clubs, doing all these club promotions, all this unnecessary stuff. You spending money to have a new outfit every time you go to the club, and y'all ain't even got money to bury y'all. You ain't even got money. You got 20 pairs of Michael Jordans. You got all these name brand clothes, and unfortunately, you lose your life, and now your family is begging at the churches, at the masjids, wherever have you, for money to bury you. Because you didn't take no time to save no money for nothing. You're living for the here and now. And then your whole death becomes a burden on your family. While you were flossing away, you was on fleek, you showing out, you got all them new sneakers, all this and that, and now your family's selling them same sneakers that you paid $600-$700 for to bury you. So for law, that's horrible for a Muslim, because you definitely ain't getting buried within them 3 days. You definitely ain't getting buried in them 3 days. You got your family out here begging to bury you? Well, one day you walking around with almost $4,000 worth of clothes and sneakers on. African-American men, I'm talking to you not for somebody who is against you. I'm for you. But one thing that I'm not going to do, I'm not going to continue to be the dead horse. You know, I want y'all to understand that nobody is against you. The only person that's against you is yourself. And it comes a time where you have to learn how to cut things off and take that step, like how the baby chick does, you know, their first flight, you know, they in that nest and they on the edge, and it's like if they don't fly, we all know what's going to happen to them. When they step out that nest, they're going to fall, they're going to hit the ground, they're going to die. African-American men, it's time for you to cut the apron strings, the umbilical cord, the tie to whoever. Stop looking on someone to help you, and you help yourself. Because I tell you, African-American women, we on a whole nother different thing. We trying to get what we can get, and get what we can got, and we moving ahead. And we're leaving you behind because we don't have time to go back and try to pull you up to where we at. You should be pulling us up to even greater, you know, a greater height, a greater tier. You should be the one encouraging us to do better when we're encouraging you. And I tell people all the time, you know, no woman, and I don't give it to you straight, no African-American woman is going to have respect for a man that is not doing manly things. She's just not going to have respect for you. If she sees that you're not doing what you need to be doing, and she knows your potential and knows what you're capable of, and you're not doing those things, do not expect her to treat you with respect. She's not. She's going to talk to you like you're her son. She's going to treat you like her son. She's going to treat you like you're a guest in your own home. If you want her to treat you with the respect that you think is due to you, then you have to do manly things and not working and not trying to better yourself, not trying to get a good education, not settling for just a high school diploma, trying to get that trade, trying to be the king that y'all want to be, that y'all want to be called. She's not going to treat you with respect if you're not doing manly things. She's not. Don't ask her to do it. She's not going. She's going to treat you like you're her son, like you're a kid, like you're a guest in your own home. Until you step up and show what your full potential is and stop acting like this slave that's encaged in the plantation and can't do nothing, she's not going to give you that respect. Now, I'm going to look at the prison statistics, which was, you know, a little elevated. And Maghrib should be coming in like 5 minutes. Yeah, in like 5 minutes. So the prison rate, now we're going to look at men 18 to 64. And that was in prison or jail. Black men was 6%. All other men was 2%. And remember, this is based on the total African-American male population, which is the 13.2% of the 41.7 million. So in jail or prison, which is crazy because if we're 13% of the population, 6% is in jail. Approximately are ex-offenders 34%. The percentage who are veterans, 14%. And disabled is 16%. Approximately 34% of all working age black men who are incarcerated are ex-offenders compared to 12% of all men. 34% compared to 12%. Now let's, you know, look at relationships. 51% of African-American men never been married. All other men is 36%. Married was 32%. All others, 50%. Divorce was 10%. All others, 2%. Widow was 3%. All others was 10%. And we have Muslims on this call, among other, you know, religions and so forth. Since Islamic marriages are not recognized by the state, those numbers probably differ greatly, just because, you know, Islamic marriages are not recognized by the state. So, 364,000 more married black men than married black women. Okay, now let's look at the statistics on this. Black men marry 86% of the time black women, 7% of the time white women, 4% of the time Hispanic women, 3% other. Now, black women marry 94% of the time black men, 4% of the time white men, 1% of the time Hispanic men, and 1% of the time other men. Now, we, you know, look, religion also. Says 45% is Baptist, 12% was non-religious, 8% was Pentecostal, and they said 1% was Muslim. I still think that number is a little bit off, because certain things aren't recognized, and depending on what kind of Muslim you're associated with and so forth and so on, so those numbers might change. Now, in 2011, 43% of the of black men were homeowners. In 2005, it was 46%. So that number dropped. Okay, so this is looking at the business owners, 365,140 African-American men had a health care business. Other services was 368,443. Administration supply was 216,763. Transportation was 168,386. And here we go, management or company executive, 196. So 196 men are managers or hold executive position, compared to the hundreds of thousands in these other positions. It just blows my mind. It blows my mind. I don't get it. I really just don't get that. I know y'all can do it. Like, y'all just don't choose to go that route. Like, it's too hard for you or too complicated. So I don't know. Now, we'll look at politics. 38% were Democrats, independents, or near Democrats was 11%, and Republican was 0.2%. So, I mean, you know, even though those numbers are greatly elevated and exceedingly high, and, you know, the disparity is, it is what it is. And, I mean, you know, I don't know whether or not you are encouraged to do better, you're seeking to do better. You know, I was always told this: nothing beats a failure but a try. And I'll give you an example. My previous position that I held at my job, at my full-time job that I work, I applied for that position six times. I was not taking no for an answer because I saw people who I knew were not qualified to do that job, be placed into that job, without no question. And again, I told you, I was told over and over again, oh, you didn't meet this qualification. All right, I got that qualification. Oh, well, now we require you to have this. Oh, okay, come back next time. All right, I will. I got this one, and I went and got this one. And it was like over and over and over again. I kept getting told that I was not qualified for the job, that, you know, it's something that, you know, I shouldn't look at because, you know, I don't think that you could handle this position and so forth and so on. And I know what my potential is, and I never second-guessed myself, and I tried six times to get this particular job, and on the seventh time, I got it. Nothing beats a failure but a try. If you don't constantly try to seek and get something that you want, yes, you should make istikhara on it. Absolutely. You should make istikhara on it. But then you also should apply yourself to do it. You can't just sit back and say, oh, I applied for the job. All right, now I'm going to just sit back and wait. No, you keep following up. You know, after you do your interview, you send them a thank you letter for doing the interview. If you haven't heard back from them in a week or whenever they said they was going to make their decision, you send them a follow-up letter. You send them then a letter saying, you know, what my qualifications are, and I think that I'm still suitable for the job, and I hope that you're still considering me for the position because I really would want to work for you. You keep following up. Until they tell you either, oh, we hired somebody else, or no, you're not qualified for the position, and then you go on. But if that's a job or a position that you really want to obtain, you keep doing it. Don't give up. That's what they want. They want you to give up. They want you to not put your best effort and just say, forget it. I'm not doing it. I'm fed up, and that's it. But that's not how it works. You can't second-guess yourself, and you can't deny yourself what you think you are worth. We all got issues. We all got things that, you know, we have to deal with on a daily basis. But your family should be where your focus is at. If you're not maintaining your family, if you're not maintaining your wife, if you're not maintaining your children, you'll never have success. It'll just be like you're walking around in a circle, not accomplishing anything. Again, if you got an opportunity to go back and further your education, do that. That will help you. Each degree that you obtain in life will add thousands of dollars on. Or even if you don't have those potential, when you go apply for a job and it's time for your raise or whatever, after your yearly annual review, you know what your worth is. You can demand what's the highest raise y'all going to give. Ask these questions, because people don't ask these questions. What's the highest amount I can get in a raise? What do I have to do to get that raise? They say that you're supposed to do to get that raise. If you do it, and maybe even a little bit more, they have no choice but to give it to you. But see, one thing I notice with black people, we don't follow through on nothing. Oh, I want that job. Oh, I want that money. But you ain't doing nothing to get it. All talk, no action. And you think somebody else ain't going to do that? They're going to look at your weaknesses, and they're going to use them as their strengths. And because you don't follow through on things, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get bypassed, and they're going to get accepted. If you don't follow through with things and teach your children how to focus on the greater potential of getting an education, staying out of the system, and utilizing the resources that are available to you, your children, black men, are going to be consumed by this dunya. Keeping Islam first in their life and showing them what a good father does to maintain the home and his wife and his children will make your children succeed and be better for it the next day and for the next generation and for society on a whole. It's your responsibility. Black men, you can't go around here just laying with any and every woman and not taking responsibility for these children. These kids are a part of you. You're responsible for them, responsible for how they turn out and what they become. You have to teach them, because children can't teach themselves. And like I tell any and everybody, a woman can put her input with her son, but her son needs that guidance from his father. And same thing with a female, with a daughter. The mother, she can, you know, teach her daughter how to be a woman, how to be a good wife, how to be, you know, all those good things. But she also needs her father to see what the good example is that she should look for in a husband that time. If she's not seeing what a positive example a man should be, she's going to get somebody who's a lame. She's going to get somebody who takes advantage of her. She's going to be put into situations that's going to cause her straight, you know, a lot of emotional stress. Remember, men, if you have daughters, the same things that you have done to females in your life, somebody could do to your daughters. And if you're okay with that, then it's all right. It's cool. It's cool, but y'all know what y'all have done. And if you want somebody to do those things to your daughter, then don't be a part of her life. Don't respect her mother. Don't be a valuable instrument in her upbringing. Continue to do what you do and be who you are. But if you do care, the time is now. You're not going to get another second back. Yesterday is already gone. Stay in your kid's life. Try to be a better person that you are today. Make sure you're a better person tomorrow. Hold firm to the rope of the law and never let go. If you keep Islam first in your life and adhere to this deen, don't take it for a joke. Adhere to the deen and the tenets that are written in Hadith and Quran, and you will be amongst the successful. It just hurts me to see that these numbers are such elevated and high, and nobody takes the time to speak on issues like this. Nobody takes the time out to, you know, point out these things. It's just taken as a joke, and it's sad. Now, I've said what I had to say about this whole situation. I'm not going to revisit it. I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I said what I had to say. I made my points. I gave the statistics to back up what, you know, my concerns are. Now, I'm leaving the ball up to you. The ball's in your court. Y'all handle it how y'all want to handle it. But don't never say nobody never said nothing to you. And I'm going to leave y'all with this analogy. Well, not even an analogy. It's a real situation that happened to a friend of mine some years ago. And when she told me this story, it concerned me. I actually broke down in tears because I couldn't believe that this actually happened. My friend was in, you know, Chinese store one day getting dinner, and she seen two young black guys in the store, and one of the young men had his pants hanging down. So my girlfriend's young. She's not older, you know, not old. You know, she's in her 30s. And she said to him, like, yo, young man, pull your pants up. He turned around and said to her, how about I shoot you in your face? And she said it took me off guard. Like, what? Did he just say he was going to shoot me in my face? And she's like, why would you say that? And his friend had to, like, calm him down because this young man was going to shoot her. All because she told him to pull up his pants. She said to him, because she was so stunned that he would say something like that out his mouth, she said to him, I said it because I care about you. You shouldn't be walking around with your pants down. She was like, I meant no offense to you, but, you know, I was just saying it because I cared about you. His response, my own mother don't care about me, so why would you care about me? Again, his friend had to literally calm him down, because this young man had a gun on him. And he was going to shoot my friend in her face. All because she gave a gesture of kindness. These are the type of young men that are in our communities. These are the type of men who are going to be fathers to the next generation. If they haven't already, they have no respect for women. Those statistics that I mentioned earlier are just going to grow. So I'm going to end the call on that. I appreciate everybody for listening in, and stay tuned for Saturday's call that I will be hosting. That should be interesting. I'll give you all a sneak peek tomorrow of what that's going to be about, but it's going to be a hot topic. It's going to be hot. All right, I appreciate everybody for joining. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi al-Alamin. Give praise to Allah for everything, for my life, for my breath, for my use of my limbs, the faculties of my mind. Thankful to Allah for all this. So on that note, I'm going to end this call today. Assalamu alaikum. Everybody have a blessed evening.